Greetings to you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Did God really take 6 days to create this universe? Not only 6 days, but 6 24-hour days. Did God create this world in 6 literal 24-hour days? Genesis chapter 1. The Bible tells us that God created this universe, including our planet Earth, out of nothing. There was absolutely nothing, and then God just simply spoke His word, and this was the sequence of creation as described in Genesis chapter 1. He created the heavens and the earth. God's first act of creation is not verse 3, but in verse 1. Do you realize that if of all the many chapters of the Bible, perhaps this is the chapter that has come under attack the most? When we were in seminary, we had a professor who attacked the Word of God. He told us that he believed that God created the world out of nothing, and the Latin phrase is ex nihilo. But then after he made that statement, he started to undermine the foundation from which the statement was based upon. He started to teach us that this cannot be found from the chapter, Genesis chapter 1, from this book, from this chapter. Why? Because Genesis was written by Moses, and in the time of Moses, when the people were wandering in the wilderness, it was not in the mind of any Israelite to want to know whether God created ex nihilo or not. And since they did not want to know, therefore there was no reason for Moses to answer a question that was non-existent. And therefore, this was not meant to teach God created ex nihilo. Then we ask him, what about in Hebrews? What about in the Gospel of John? Oh, all these did not, because of the same reason. How are you going to prove that it was in the mind of the recipients of the epistle or the letter or any book of the Bible, and then, therefore, you write to answer those questions? This was taught when we were in Grace Theological Seminary. And so we argue and we argue and we argue and we argue until his face was so red, and then he got angry with us. When I say us, it was Dr. Jeffrey Koo and myself. That was an attack. It was very subtle. And then he said that based upon the formula that he derived in the Bible, based upon his own observation of the Hebrew language, God's first act of creation therefore begins with verse 3. And that means matter already existed when God began his creation. Verse 1 and verse 2 are just the title, not the beginning of the first day. That was his conclusion. The creation account must come under attack of the devil to no end. He must continue to destroy this. Because if he does not destroy this doctrine that God actually really created the world in 6 literal days, you and I have no gospel. Our entire gospel message will be completely changed. If the world took millions and billions of years to be created. Do you know that death, therefore, would have already existed? But the Bible teaches us that after creation, God said it was very good. There was no death. If there was death, how could God say it was very good? There was no sin. The angels did not sin. Satan had not fallen. He was still Lucifer. He was still in heaven because angels were created on the first day, when heaven was created. And so if there was already death, then how can you and I explain that death only came in because of the fall? Death has now become a normal day-to-day event as an outcome of what now the world calls the evolutionary process. Things live, things begin, things die, and then they live, and then they evolve from simple things to complicated things, from bad to good to better to best. One subtle attack that God did not create in 6 days, and the implication is enormous. And that's why this is not a small or a minor doctrine. This is a very serious doctrine. And if you say that, well, I can embrace evolution, and then now I just attach the word God to it, calling it deistic evolution, do you know that the new evangelicals invented this heinous abomination? They are worse than the evolutionists. At least the evolutionists took God out, and then they concocted their own theory. And here we have these compromisers who call themselves Christians, seminary professors and pastors, imbibing this so-called atheistic theory of evolution, and then now they attach the word God to it so that they can be accepted by these so-called scientists of the world, so that they will not be alienated. They are the new evangelicals, theistic evolution. How dare you and I just simply Christianize something that is godless, and now therefore it becomes Christian? Who are we? You mean you and I can just simply touch something that is unclean and make it clean? You have that power to do so? This is an atheistic, godless teaching, evolution. And now you have so-called Christians, professing Christians. That's what they are, professing Christians. Because if you believe in theistic evolution, you have a different gospel. That's how deadly and serious it is to believe in something other than God created our universe, our earth, each and every one of us, within 6 literal days, 24 hours. Genesis 1 gives us the chronology in which God created. Look at how it all began. God created the heavens and the earth, and then God just simply zoomed in and focused on the earth. And God said that the earth was without form and void, and God spent the next 3 days forming it. And then God spent the last 3 days filling it. You realize that? So there was a design, there was a plan, there was an orderliness. God did not just simply create without thinking, like many of us. Design things, do things without thinking the proper logical sequence that is best. And so we make mistakes, we make blunders. God doesn't make mistakes, He doesn't make blunders. He created everything in this earth with all the environment, and then the climax of it, He created man. With an environment that his body is able to breathe the air and to live and to survive. God is no mad designer. He is a very great and careful and wise designer. And if you study creation, you will see that God is powerful, God is wise, and God is very, very gracious, because after He has created this world, He handed over the dominion to man, for man to rule this world. You find this in verse 26 and 27. That's how great God is. And God created this world, and He tells us how He did it in Genesis 1. And then Genesis 2 is not another alternative way of creation. As some of these new evangelicals have intimated, there is no end to the attack on this wonderful, amazing, important, and critical doctrine. And the worst thing is, it comes from the lips of so-called pastors and Christians, Christian leaders and professors and seminary teachers. That's how deadly Satan has become in our time, in our world, infiltrating into the heart and the leadership, spewing out evil doctrines to undermine our faith and our salvation. Genesis 2 is focused on one day, day number 6. How did God make man in His image? Genesis 1 explained that God did, and God wanted to. How did He do it? Because the creation of man and woman was the climax of God's creation. And so God explains how He did it in Genesis 2. They complement one another. Genesis 1 is like a wide-angle perspective from day 1 to day 6, how this creation came about. And then Genesis 2 is like you using a telephoto zoom lens where God will zoom in on only one day, day 6. After God created the creeping things and the cattle in verse 24, that's day 6. Then, after God created all the land animals, by this time, everything is all prepared because fish had already been created, birds already done, vegetation already done, everything has been done. God had separated the ocean from the land, everything all done. Now the climax, mankind. Special. And God did it. How did he do it? 6 literal days. Don't let this be a doctrine that you can just simply let go. Never mind. You must mind because the implication is disastrous. Your entire gospel message will fall apart if you do not believe that God created in 6 literal days. And each and every day when God said, I created this, this was evening, this was morning, and this was the first day. Everything that was created on day one completed. There is no overlap, in other words. It's not create day one and day one's creation continue on. And then after 24 hours on the next day, God began day two, and then day two, one overlapped with day two, and then day two, day one overlapped with day three. So no such thing. It is 24-hour day completion as well. No overlap. That's what Buswell explains. That's why we do not agree with Buswell on that point on creation. Many things that are found in Buswell we can accept because Buswell was a Bible Presbyterian seminary teacher in Faith Seminary. But with regards to his understanding of creation, we do not accept. So if you have Buswell's systematic theology, please be very careful when you read his explanation of creation. This is just by way of mention for your protection. Right? Now let's see how do we see and understand that it was a 24-hour, 6-day creation. How do we come to that conclusion? First thing to note is what Dr. Wickham taught us, and he called this the numerical adjective. Do you know what's a numerical adjective? Numerical means a number. An adjective. An adjective is a word that comes before the number. For example, second day, that's a numerical adjective. The number 2 is an adjective that's called numerical adjective to the word day. Third day, 3 days, 4 days, 5 days. And you find that in the Bible, the first day, that's a numerical adjective. The adjective is the word first, and that's a number, so it's called a numerical adjective. To what word? To the word day. And then we have the second day in verse 8, the third day in verse 13, and then we have the fourth day in verse 19, fifth day in verse 23. These are all numerical adjectives. And throughout the Bible, whenever you find a numerical adjective that is used, the word day always refers to 24 hours. Always. No exception, numerical adjective. So why would these people say that in the book of Genesis, in chapter 1, the numerical adjective now refers to aeons, millions of years? That is ridiculous. You are reading into the text that is not found anywhere. We know that the word day has no meaning outside of the context in which it is used. You are right. Every word is like that. No meaning outside of the context in which it is used. The word green, what does it mean? Well, some people say green means green color. You are right. Somebody can say green means you are a novice. You are also right. Somebody says, well, green means you are an envious, jealous person. You are also right. It depends on the context. He is wearing a green shirt, so you are right. He is a greenhorn, he is a novice, you are right. He is green with envy, you are also right. So a word on its own has no meaning outside of the context in which it is used. So you examine the numerical adjective. We know that in some parts of the Bible, the word day refers to a long period, like Genesis chapter 2, verse 4. These are the generations of the heavens and of the earth when they were created, in the day that the Lord made the earth and the heavens, right? So that is not 24-hour day. If you interpret that as 24-hour day, then you don't understand language. So we know in the Bible that there are certain instances where the word day just simply refers to a long period, like Joel in Joel chapter 2, in Acts chapter 2, we are living in the last days. All right? Now, the last days from the time of the first coming of Christ to today is more than 2,000 years. Now, we are not denying the fact that there are instances where the word day or days can refer to long period of time. It can be to refer to long period depending on the context, but that's not the point. The point is, in Genesis, how is the word day used in terms of the numerical adjective? And you will find that each time, every time, when it is used in terms of a numerical adjective, it refers to a 24-hour day period. Not aeons, not thousands of years. In Genesis 1, it's the same. Second observation from Genesis 1 is the phrase to emphasize and to make sure that we do not misunderstand that it is aeons. God purposely put in the phrase, and the evening and the morning were the first day. Not just, and it was the first day. God purposely emphasized this point as if God knows in advance that somewhere along the line in the 19th century, there will be an attack on Genesis, on creation, by a man called Darwin. It's as if God knew, and God knows, that's for sure. God definitely knows. He is God. And so God has already incorporated into His Word all that you and I need to defend whatever attacks that may come in the future. That's how amazing and wonderful our God is. That's why the professor who says, oh, it was not in the minds of the people in the time of the wilderness to ask Moses whether God created an ex nihilo. So therefore, since it was not in their mind, and therefore God did not, or Moses did not have to answer the question, so therefore we cannot teach ex nihilo from Genesis 1. That is rubbish. How old do you think he was? You mean he was there in the wilderness together with Moses? He definitely was not, because he was in seminary and he was not even a Jew. He looks like one. Short, bald, bearded. I thought he was a Jew actually. But then later on he told us he was not. He was not there. He was making a guess. And furthermore, the Bible is written by the Holy Spirit, not Moses. Isn't it? And when in the world do we get this kind of notion that only in the mind of the recipient, then God's word must answer or write only based upon the mind of the recipient? This is not an epistle. An epistle, yes, when the Bible made it abundantly clear. When you study the book of Romans, the Apostle Paul anticipated a lot of questions that he realized will surface when he taught them the importance of salvation. When he taught them about how great grace is, because of the greatness of the sin of the first Adam, but God's grace is greater. And so he anticipated the question. So the reader may think, since by the greater sin, the grace of God is shown even greater, so therefore does it mean that I should now sin more, that grace may abound? So he anticipated the question and he put it in there, and then he answered it himself, God forbid. Now that we know because the Bible says so. But in the narratives like this, especially Genesis 1 and 2, yes, God used Moses to write this for us, but understand the entire book of Genesis was by dictation. It was not written like the book of Exodus, where Moses was an eyewitness account and Moses was there as he recorded what happened in the plagues, in the crossing of the Red Sea and so on. This was written by dictation, similar to the Ten Commandments and the laws that are found in Exodus 21, 22 and 23, as well as the entire book of Leviticus, where we have all the laws of the Levitical priesthood with all the offerings explained. They were all given by dictation to Moses. So it was not in response to some questions that were asked, which was an assumption that has no basis, and based upon a wrong assumption, that professor came up with a wrong conclusion, attacking the Word of God. So please be very mindful and careful. God, make sure that you and I have enough information in His Word to ward off this attack that God created the world in six literal 24-hour days. He purposely attached to the phrase, first day, second day, third day, fourth day, 5 days, 6 days, with the phrase evening and morning, so that you and I will not be in doubt. And if you still want to insist that it refers to aeons or millions and billions of years, then you have no excuse when you stand before God and God judge you. God made this abundantly clear. You have to be blind not to see this. Please turn with me to Daniel 8, verse 14, where you find the phrase evening and morning used in Daniel 8, 14. All right, Daniel chapter 8, verse 14. And he said unto me, unto 2,300 days, then shall the sanctuary be cleansed. This was part of the vision that God gave to King Belshazzar. Now, the King James translated it using the word days, but the Hebrew literally it means, in verse 14, and he said unto me, unto 2,300 evenings and mornings. Now, this is a description of the period before the sanctuary was cleansed. 2,300 evenings and mornings. The phrase evenings and mornings argues without a doubt, indisputable argument to make sure that if some people still want to find fault with the numerical adjective, God deliberately added evening and morning so that there is no way you and I could ever, ever miss that God created this world in six literal 24-hour days. And if this is still not enough, you need some more? Some more. All right? Some more evidence. You see, God knows. God is so merciful and so gracious. So God wanted us to know for a fact that it is six literal 24-hour day. That's how long he took. Exodus 20. Exodus 20. Verse 8. Commandment number 4. Remember the Sabbath day, all right? Now, Sabbath day. Dear friends, how many? 24-hour, right? Sabbath day, 24, because it's referring to our day, isn't it? Right? 24-hour, right? I hope you don't argue, 24-hour day, okay? 6 days. Sorry, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, okay? If you're going to interpret it as what? Aeons, then you and I will die, you know. Isn't it? Day, 24 hours, right? Verse 9, 6 days, numerical adjective. Now please, 6 days, he's talking to Israel, living in our time, he's also talking to us. Now, how many hours? 24 hours, right? Shall thou labor and do all thy work? 6 days. Sabbath day, day number 7, keep it holy, rest. But the seventh day, it's the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt do no work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. So very clear. Verse 8, verse 9, verse 10, six literal 24-hour days. Work, seventh day, 24-hour day, rest. You and everyone and everything you own, they must rest. So you're resting, don't work your oxen. You are resting, don't work your servants. Everyone under your charge must rest. Why? Verse 11. God used himself as a witness, as a testimony. So any one of you think, well, I still have strength, I still have energy, I want to work. God asks you to rest, not because God says you are tired, because here in verse 11, God used himself. At the end of 6 days, God did not continue his creation on day 7. He rested. Not because God is tired. God is omnipotent. His power and His strength does not change. He created the whole universe and the whole world within 6 days. Doesn't mean that now I'm so tired, let me rest. It's not that. It is God Himself using His own experience. I am the testimony that you must now follow. I did it. I only worked for 6 literal days. Now you see, for in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth. Now how clear do you want? And you and I know that this comparison of what God did in Genesis 1 will be meaningless when God used it as an example for us today if it is not a 24-hour day period. Because verse 8, verse 9, verse 10, definitely 24-hour day period, right? And the illustration only makes sense if it is also 24-hour day period. It makes absolutely no sense. In fact, it is absurd. If God were to say, 6 days I work, and the 6 days for me means millions of years, billions of years. You see, it makes no sense. It's meaningless. It's absurd if it were to become millions and billions of years. And that's why God says, in the 6 days, for in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore, the Lord blessed the seventh day and hallowed it. You do the same. You do the same. That's what God means when He said that in verse 11. And this was the same in Deuteronomy 5. When God gave us instruction to keep the Sabbath day, please understand, 6 literal 24-hour days. It's a very important doctrine. Do not let it be reduced in your mind out of friendship or out of some kind of compromise. Never mind. Never mind. It is because of this understanding of Genesis 1 and Genesis 2 that you and I can have Genesis 3. That is the beginning of sin, which also brings forth the beginning of death. Any other view would imply that death already existed on the earth. And therefore, your understanding of the word God said it was good, it was very good, will also have to be changed. How could God declare it as good and very good when there was sin, when there was death? Whether it's in heaven or on earth. At the end of creation, God said it was very good. All that God created in heaven, very good. All that God created on earth, very good. You know what very good means, right? Absolute, total goodness, no tarnish, no blemish, no sin, no death. Yes, some people will use 2 Peter 3:8 to argue. You know what is 2 Peter 3:8, right? Now let's look at 2 Peter 3:8. This is the common verse that people would use to argue against the literal 24-hour day creation account. 2 Peter 3:8. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. Ah, you see? Right? Look at the context. Now remember, a word or a phrase has no meaning outside of the context in which it is used. Now the context of this, if you look at chapter 3 of 2 Peter, is with reference to the mockers. Right? Scoffers. People who love to walk after their own lusts. They do not believe that there was a global punishment that was a reference to the Noah's flood. They also do not believe that God exists, that God will punish. Because people have been saying about second coming of Christ, God is going to come, God is going to punish, but it never happened. And so people were mocking and scoffing the doctrines of God. And so God said in verse 7, but the heavens and the earth which are now by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. And then God explains why He did not punish. Please do not say and think that God has delayed, because you and I do not look at time the way that God looks at time. Beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, That one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years. Do you know what that means? Basically, this teaching teaches us the omnipresent and the omniscient of God. Omniscient of God means God knows all things all at the same time. Do you think God does not know about this? Omniscient means everywhere is always in the presence of God all at the same time. In other words, what we read and study in the book of Revelation about the trumpet judgments, about the vow judgments, it has already occurred from God's perspective, because everything that God described for us in the Bible concerning the past, the present, and the future, as far as God is concerned, all of them are happening all at the same time in the presence of God. That means when God created the universe at the very beginning, the end of the world, the new heaven and new earth, all of them were all at the same time in the presence of God. That's God. That's omniscient and omnipresence. Do you know that? Don't reduce God to our level. And just because it has not come in your time frame, generation after generation, from man's perspective, don't scoff at the doctrines of God as if God is now like me, bound by time. And so God tells us, don't regard my not fulfilling what I have said regarding my second coming as a lie. Don't scoff. I do not look at time the way you look at time. And why did God therefore not come? Why did Jesus Christ not return? The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's why. And furthermore, this phrase, one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years. Do you know that this phrase only makes sense if the word one day, the day there refers to 24 hours? Do you realize that? If the day there refers to millions of years, then it makes no sense. So as, what, 1,000,000 years is with the Lord as 1,000 years? You see, it makes no sense. This phrase, now remember, a word has no meaning outside the context in which it is used. This phrase, one day, only makes sense if it is understood as a 24-hour day. So this verse actually does not support the detractors and the attackers of the literal 6-24-hour day teaching of creation. In fact, this verse supports, enhances it. Do you know that if the Lord were to come last year, all those who were saved and born again this year will now be in hell? Isn't it true? If the Lord were to come in the 19th century, we are in trouble. We're in trouble, isn't it? Either you never existed, or all those who are supposed to be born will never be born. You realize that? Of course, God makes no mistakes. All whom God has chosen will be saved. So please do not regard God as if he is like man, bound by time, helpless, must work within the time. And time is something that God cannot control. There was no time before there was creation. God sets time. In the beginning, God created, that's when time began. And before there was the beginning, God already existed. That's how great God is. Don't reduce him to your own image. This doctrine that God created the world in 6 literal 24-hour days and on the 7th day he rested is a cardinal doctrine that you hold on to for dear life. Don't let anyone diminish this wonderful truth, because it speaks of a very powerful, wise, and wonderful God. Because if you do not believe in this, you have no gospel to preach, and your salvation is a big question mark, because you are preaching a gospel that is another gospel, not the gospel of the Bible. How are you going to explain the origin of sin and death? Pray tell. How are you going to explain? You cannot say that because of the first Adam, which Romans chapter 5 made that abundantly clear. Because of the first Adam, death came. Now you have to say something else. You have just contradicted the clear, express teaching of God's word in Romans chapter 5, verse 12 and onwards. It's not a minor doctrine. It's a very serious doctrine. And God wants you to believe in Him and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and as Savior tonight. This same God who created this world created you. And this same God who created the world and created you sustained you. And God now wants you to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and as Savior, because the same God sent Jesus Christ to die on the cross for us. Because the same Adam that God created, as described for us in Genesis 1 and Genesis 2, sinned against God. And because of his sin, all mankind fell into sin. And God, in his grace and his mercy and in his love, sent Jesus Christ to die for you and for me, that you and I do not need to end up in hell, but to be with him in heaven. Because God raised Jesus Christ from the dead, signifying that God, through Christ, has defeated sin and death on your behalf. And all you need to do is to confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is your Lord and is your Savior, and you will be saved to the uttermost. That's what it takes for you to accept and understand that God created this world out of nothing, and He is a good, great, and wise God. And He loves you. Don't spurn His love. Because if you spurn His love and you remain in sin, you die in sin, you will face Him. You will face His wrath. May God have mercy. Let us pray. Our gracious, merciful, loving Heavenly Father, help us, O Lord, as we look around us, as we look up into the heavens, as we look around this world. May we see the hand of God. And above all else, may we see Christ. For we know that without Jesus Christ as our Lord and as our Savior, all that we have spoken will not be understood. For without the indwelling of the Spirit of God, we cannot understand spiritual things. But with the Spirit of God indwelling us, we know we can understand all things that you have taught us in Holy Scriptures. May this be the heart experience of every worshipper here this evening. Speak to someone who may be outside Christ, that this person may come and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. For we have a great, mighty God that we need to answer to one day. May Thou be merciful for Jesus' sake. In Jesus' name we give thanks and pray. Amen.